Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Once upon a time, there was the druids.
Wow.
Stonehenge. Stonehenge is where the demons dwell and the banshees live, and they do live well.
Stonehenge! No, we're not playing bloody Stonehenge!
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. It's Beefy here. I hope you're doing all right. Thanks for joining us. We've missed you. We love you. I've caught myself there. I just went down a bit of a lane there and I've completely forgotten.
I loved the intonation of it. We missed you. We love you.
Yeah. But it's great to have you back for another episode. As I said, my name's Beefy, and I don't know why I said Beefy. But as always, I've got my two best friends with me to host this episode. So say hello, Mr. Adam Tiss.
Hello.
And say hello, Mr. Bob Shoy.
Hello, Beefy. This is Bob Shoy.
You guys all right?
Yeah, before we carry on, did you have a nice birthday?
I did have a nice birthday, thank you. Yeah, took the day off work and just play PlayStation and chilled out.
Did you plan this episode on your birthday?
No.
Oh, no. You did it today, last minute.
I started to plan a different episode and then I got annoyed because I couldn't find anything interesting.
You say that every time.
I know. And that was when I messaged you and I was like, I need some help.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going my way. So I think I just need to stop doing the things that I think are going to be good and just message you from now on.
Okay. So Beef's now 46. Happy birthday.
Cheeky git. No. Only 34.
Still pretty old.
Although I caught sight of myself this morning and I thought my eyes look old.
Oh, I've been thinking that, yeah. Not about you, about me as well. My eyes, getting the baggy eyes.
Yeah, you could probably see a bit now.
I'm only a few months younger.
I'm going to have to get the oil of Ule out and
Bob, you're 34 next January, right?
Yeah.
And I'm 33 next April.
I know, we've got quite a bit on you. Beef's only a little bit older than me, but you're a baby.
The full 2 years on me, mate. Well, not the
full. It's funny when you're at school, isn't it? Like, when you get to like 16, you're like, oh, I can't wait to be 18. And you can't wait to get older. Getting older is fun. And now getting older isn't fun.
Yeah, but I think...
It sort of is. I feel like it's also a celebration. Like, I made another year.
Yeah. Some things are better when you're younger and some things are better when you're older. Hate being this age. It's all right.
No, that's true. No, I enjoy being this age.
I don't want to be much older because I've got aches and pains and stuff. But there's some things that I'm like, I appreciate my brain more than when I was 18. I was an idiot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, but I was an idiot. Like, I appreciate my knowledge more now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I suppose it swings roundabouts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind being older.
But yeah, it was fun, thanks. I had a nice time and was able to see my family, which was good because
lovely.
This time last year I no one could see anything or anyone rather.
My last birthday was a lockdown one.
Yeah, so that was good. So instead of spending the day seeing people, I took the day off work and spent the day on my own.
Excellent.
No, it's good. So
great. Well, hang on. So before we carry on, Tis, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know it hasn't been your birthday, so I'm not as excited for you, but I'm sure it's been great. Oh, is your mouth better now?
My mouth is totally better.
Yeah.
Good.
You were really when I was editing that last one, I felt bad for you.
There's still a socket there. But it doesn't hurt anymore, which is good. They
That's
packed
good
it full of whatever. I think, when did we
Rice.
Record?
2 weeks ago.
They packed...
Was it really 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So last Tuesday, they packed in some, like... I don't know what it was. It was like this bark or some sort of, like, organic material... That dissolves,
right.
or
I don't think it was bark.
It's like antiseptic.
I don't think it was bark.
It's something natural. It's not. It's not a chemical.
Cork.
It's like a natural something. But they use
tofu.
It to keep things like, I guess, what's the word? Antiseptic.
Right. Okay.
So anyway, they packed that in, and the pain went, and the packing came out. Yesterday and now there's still a socket, but it doesn't hurt anymore, and I can just clean. It's just it must have covered over the nerve at least. But
sorry, I just got this image of your dentist going to like the kids' playground and picking up, like scooping up all the bark off the floor. Like all the
not that kind of bark.
All the like
wood chips. Packing
wood
little
chips,
wood
yeah.
chips in. That's what it felt like. No, it felt like
I
wire
know what
wool.
You mean.
It felt like wire wool, but it wasn't wire wool. It was like organic wire wool. It's like husk of something. Maybe it was husk of something.
So Beef's had a nice birthday. Tis has got his mouth not in pain anymore. And
how are you doing?
I've been enjoying the Leeds International Film Festival, which I was just talking to you guys about. So I've got like 3 days left of that, but that's been really good fun this year. So we've all had better weeks.
Yeah.
Lovely. So what have you got for us this time, Beef?
So tonight we're going to talk about something which I wasn't expecting to talk about. And this is why I should maybe start going for these more unexpected things or the ones that I wouldn't normally choose.
I have no idea what to expect.
Tonight, because the list you sent me, there must have been about 300 choices there.
Yeah.
But tonight we're going to talk a bit more in depth about Stonehenge.
Ooh, this was recently suggested to us.
Yeah.
I can't remember who suggested it, but when I edit this, I'll look it up and I'll name drop them right now. I looked it up and this episode was suggested recently by John Eichen. Thanks, John.
Bang.
Here we go. Right then,
name
I would
drop.
Have said their name.
Yeah, so like I say, it wasn't my choice yesterday. It wasn't something I chose to look into. But I don't know why, because the more I looked into it, the stranger it gets.
I don't really know anything about it. It's a big, you'll tell me, I guess.
Well, hopefully, and I suppose I tend to start my episodes by asking you guys what your knowledge is like with these sorts of subjects. So I suppose I'll start again and ask what you guys already know about Stonehenge.
You go first, Tis.
Stonehenge is where the demons dwell. And the banshees live, and they do live well.
We already got our outro music set.
Yeah.
I literally watched that like just before the film festival. I watched that again.
Oh, really?
For the first time in years, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. So besides that, then, what else? What else do you know? Because the reason I ask is because, like I say, I didn't. My knowledge on this was very, very minimal.
Yeah. No, I know a little bit about Stonehenge. Like, they're stones and they're in Canterbury. Is it Canterbury?
Wiltshire.
Salisbury. Salisbury. That's where it is. Not Canterbury.
I mean, yeah.
Salisbury.
It's like
it's near
Somerset
me.
Area, isn't it?
Yeah.
Near
it's
Somerset.
South. It's south.
It's quite close.
Yeah.
For me, it's South, but for me, most things are South.
I know that once a year people can go and sit. People can go up to the stones up close.
Yeah, can't you go up close anyway?
No. Hmm. No, they're roped off.
They're roped off, yeah. It's only one time a year where I think it's solstice.
Have you been there, Tess?
I have been there, but I haven't been there on solstice.
Right.
Actually, I think there's a few times a year.
The sort of thing you should do, Tess.
Winter or summer
solstice.
Yeah,
it's the sort of thing I'd have presumed Tess has done.
No, yeah. I need to go and do it still. It's quite local to me, so I should. Maybe this year or next year.
Yeah, it's Tess's pilgrimage for the next 6 months. Yeah, it's. I haven't been there.
Even driven past. Have you driven? Yeah, I was going to say everyone's driven past. I know all the cars slow down.
Like probably like half a dozen times, maybe
on the way to Longleat Safari Park.
Well, Rick moans about it all the time because he had to work that way for some times, and he said the traffic really slows down when he's trying to get to work at that point.
And every single time, maybe I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 miles before you get to Stonehenge, you hit traffic, and every time I'm like, oh, why is there traffic? What's going on?
Because people are looking at it.
And you get there and you're like, oh, right, yeah, it's people slowing down to look at it.
Yeah, they're like, why get out? I can see it from this traffic jam that I've created.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why spend the £20 or however much it is to go see it when I can just drive past slowly and look at it here?
I've driven past it a lot when I was younger with my dad, and one time when we drove past it, we pulled in and sort of looked a bit closer, but we didn't actually pay and go up close.
No. And I feel like it's probably, if you don't live in the UK, maybe American listeners might think Stonehenge might connect the UK with Stonehenge a lot more than we think about it. I don't know. I just get the sense in pop culture anyway that it's like a bigger deal.
It's a plot point in some things. One of the... What's that old adventure game series? One of the Broken Sword games, I think it was Broken Sword, had Stonehenge as a plot point. Mm. The Joe Cornish film that came out last year, The Kid Who Would Be King, that had Stonehenge as a plot point because Adam Buxton was a tour guide in that film for Stonehenge.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a plot point in some stuff. But yeah, from what I know about it, this is what I know. It's some rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of debate over what they are. Some people think it might be a place of worship. Some people think it might be a place where people gathered for like events, which is similar to worship. Some people think it might be a big sundial. I don't know what else. There's just some of the things they ring a bell with me, but I couldn't elaborate any further on them.
Well, this is why it's so interesting, because no one knows. No one really knows exactly what it was used for, or, you know, there's lots about it, which is just really strange.
Just like Zodiac when we did that episode.
Yeah.
And they went and fucked up about a week after we published it and said, oh, it's this guy.
It's going to come out in... That'll be the next weird news.
Stonehenge is going to be solved for fucking Christmas.
Like when, was it a couple of weird news ago when aliens were real and no one cares?
It'll yeah, exactly. Like, it's that.
People discovered what Stonehenge was for and no one cares.
All these years of people saying, what is Zodiac? Films, books, documentaries about it. And then when it came out, it was like fucking next day no one gave a shit.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? I think it's people choose to not believe these things because they'd
rather mystery is more
stay
fun.
With the mystery. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Jack the Ripper. Didn't they kind of a few years ago say, oh, it was this Polish barber?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Rachel, that was it.
Was Jack the Ripper a Polish barber?
Wasn't that debunked recently?
She doesn't know.
I think it was. I think it came out that it was this Polish barber, and then a lot of people actually said, no, it probably wasn't, and there's still some dispute over whether it was, but I'm sure we'll do that one day.
I feel like if we don't know who he is by now, we're never going to know who he was.
We can't go back. There's no DNA evidence. There's no fingerprints. There's no...
And Rachel's just... Did you hear all of that?
Yeah. Exactly, Rachel.
She's nailed
That's
it.
That's what Big Pharma want you to say.
Yeah. So let's get into Stonehenge then. So,
not this time of night.
You can't. Only once a year. You can't get into it.
No, we couldn't fucking bounce on it quick enough, could we?
Neither of you. You're both chomping at the bit to say,
And neither of them were that good.
I know. So Stonehenge was actually... So first of all, we're going to give it like a little intro. So we're going...
Once upon a time, there was the Druid.
That's great at the start of the episode.
Life.
Stonehenge.
Is this going to happen every time I say Stonehenge?
Yeah, how many times throughout this episode is he going to reference it?
Can I just ask one question before we continue?
Go on.
Are we playing Stonehenge tonight?
No, we're not playing bloody Stonehenge!
Sorry.
Set him off.
It's going to be that kind of episode, I think.
Set him off.
Yeah. So... I'm not going to say it. I can't say it because it's just, I feel like this is going to crop up every time I say the word. But it was actually built over many hundreds of years. So I can't make out actually, it doesn't seem to be like it was definitely built at this point and then, you know, finished at this point because it's changed over the centuries. But work began in the Neolithic Age. So, right. The Stone Age, around 3000 BC. So,
How do they know it's that old?
Long time ago. I guess through looking at the rock. I don't know. Archaeology, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Can you carbon date rocks?
I didn't
rock,
actually
though?
Think to look at that, but I guess that's the answer.
You can't carbon date rock, though.
Yeah, isn't, but there's the structure of the rocks, you could sort of... don't know. There is a name for people who study rocks, aren't there? Rachel, nice.
I know the rocks got transported from far away, didn't they? From like Wales or something.
Rachel's really excited because she found her Kit Kat chunky.
Oh, right. I thought she was like, I'm going to tell you how to carbon date a rock. I thought that was what the excitement was about.
No, Rachel. popcorn flavour. Oh, nice. I'm really proud of
salted
you.
Salted caramel popcorn flavor.
That sounds nice. Can you help answer a question? How would we know how old Stonehenge is? Is it carbon dating? Is that what that is?
Yeah, so it's archaeology through...
Archaeology.
The soil Vague. And those soil. Things for carbon dating.
Soil. But
also different...
soil.
Engravings and things that match
other...
Engravings.
Engravings, yeah. Not rock.
I love these bullet points. Archaeology, soil, engravings.
Engravings.
That's what we need. That's the level we're working with on this show.
And if you listen to this episode back in headphones and turn that right up, you will hear Rachel's much more detailed answer.
Yeah.
But I just took the bullets. I don't know, researching, you know, the Weird Tales way.
There's a level that my brain switches off at, but the bullet points I can grasp. I'm like, okay, yeah, archaeology, exactly. Soil and engravings.
It's like
cool.
when you highlight text in a book, you're like, that bit, that
yeah,
bit.
That's what I do. All my textbooks, all I do is underline like every sort of fifth line. I'm like, that's the important bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of the rest.
But one thing that did surprise me was that it's actually changed a lot over... the hundreds of years, you know, looking at the size of those rocks, you'd think they probably haven't really been moved, that no one would really bother to move them around again. But they have. They've changed shape, they've changed form, they've been moved around. I don't know if it's like feng shui and they're just moving it around every now and then. But apparently the last time the changes were made were in the early Bronze Age, so around about 1500 BC. So a really long time ago. But what I'm actually going to do now is I'm going to send you boys a picture that I took earlier on our Signal chat.
Right. I'm prepared for it. As I pick up this phone, Sadie Ezard liked my thing on Twitter about the new episode of Weird Tales, so I hope you enjoyed it, Sadie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Okay, let me get our chat up. Got it. Ready.
But what I'm going to send you is like a little diagram of Stonehenge. Stonehenge would have looked like. So this is what it would have looked like 4,000 years ago.
Do they know this is what it would look like, though? Or are they just guessing?
I think it's like this is our best guess when you when we look at what different scholars and historians say. This is, you know, this is probably the word probably is in this, but this is also BBC Bite Size, so my guess is that it's pretty solid.
So what we've got in it is a stone in the middle, which they've got labelled as the altar stone.
Yep.
And then, like, what you think of as the Stonehenge shape with the two rocks with the one across it, a horseshoe of them around it, mm-hmm. then a ring of smaller stones, and then a full ring of those all joined up in one big circle of the Stonehenge shape.
And it clearly looks very different to what it looks like today. What we're left with today is more like the central section.
Yeah.
That's probably about right, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a few other stones nearby that they've labelled as station stones. But yeah, interesting. I feel like we're doing, what's that digging show with Baldrick in it?
Time Team.
Time Team, we're doing a bit of Time Team here.
That digging show with Baldrick.
That's one of those stupid jokes that, like, English listeners will find funny. Yeah, Americans exactly. will go, what's Time Team? Well, who's Baldrick?
If by chance they watched Blackadder and also knew about Time Team, then they'll know what that
they
meant.
They dug around our school, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Years in the ago. Fields. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Rachel used to watch Time Team a lot.
Yeah, I feel I'm not going to ask her, but I'm sure Becca did as well.
Yeah, sounds like the sort of thing she'd watch. I'm just going to go through each of these briefly and just kind of tell you what they are. So the station stone
right.
on the top left, the four station stones. So I think they were like at each corner.
So there's, they're like a little bit away from the actual Stonehenge. Yeah. They're like in four stones at a bit of a distance away from it.
Yeah. And you can make them out. Yeah. No, not anywhere near as big, really. But it's believed that they would have been used to mark the position of the sun and the moon during the year.
Oh, so you can move them bits?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they were like...
That's why they're smaller.
Yeah, light enough that you could do that.
Yeah, they look like I could lift them.
Well, yeah, probably. Put your back into it, you'd probably be able to shift them. And then we come on to the horseshoe. The horseshoe... with five stone arches known as trilithons to make up the shape of a horseshoe. And this is pretty bonkers. So those stones are around about 7 meters tall and weigh up to 50 tons.
Oof. I couldn't lift those ones.
Probably couldn't lift that, no. The outer circle was made from 30 standing stones called sarsens, which I think is the type of rock, but I'll probably be hilariously wrong.
Vinegar.
It is, yeah. I've got some on the table, actually. Right here.
Good.
And then on top of these, you had these like horizontal stones, and it kind of forms like a ring around the whole of the horseshoe in the middle. Top right, you've got the bank that encircles the entire thing.
It's got like a gap for entering, I guess.
Yeah, and the avenue leads from the River Avon into Stonehenge. And so it's believed that people might have walked along it in a procession, almost like a pilgrimage.
Is that where the word avenue comes from?
I guess so. I don't.
From Avon, Avon U.
Avon, Avenue, yeah, maybe.
You walk Avon, from the Avon, Avenue. Avon U.
Yeah.
Nah.
Avenue. No.
Walk on to Electric Avon U.
Yeah.
So this was one of the earliest structures to be built, the first ones, and it dates back to before 3000 BC, apparently.
Right.
3000 years before Christ.
Yeah.
It's old, isn't it?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, before Christ.
That's pretty Christ. Old.
What would they have said in shock then?
Don't know. Who else's name could they have taken in vain?
Don't know.
What you mean, like at the time of Jesus? I don't know.
No, I mean 3,000 years before. They'd have been T-Rex.
Stonehenge. Who was it built by, do you reckon?
Who was it built by? Do we know?
Well, I'll come on to that in just a moment.
Wow.
So then we're on to the blue stones. Now, the blue stones are the oldest stones, and they first stood alone, but then other stones were added, and the blue stones were moved.
Right.
They form the shape, the like circular shape that we can see here. And then finally, we're on to the altar stone. So the altar stone, actually, if you were to go there today, is apparently buried right underneath another stone that's fallen down.
Right. But it's like a big slab, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. But it's made from sandstone found in South Wales. But it's the only stone of its kind in Stonehenge. You can't find the old that kind of stone anywhere else in the
area.
That's
interesting. Why would they have bought it from Wales rather than use a nearby one? Oh.
Wow. That's another thing that we're going to come to. This is what I mean. The more you look into it, you're like, oh, hang on a minute. Why? Well, I don't know if I do have the answers, but
he's got possible answers.
That was just like a little intro. It just seems crazy to me. There's so much in it. The first question, which is one of the ones you've just asked, is how was it built?
Right.
Or that's at least one of the questions I came up with.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, how would you even just asked go about who built it? And I said, yeah. Why do they bring a stone from Wales?
Yeah, we'll come on to the stone bit in a minute. Oh, sorry, yeah, who built it? People from the Neolithic age, I suppose.
Aliens.
I don't... aliens.
Well.
Perhaps. Well, did they? Did the aliens build it? Did aliens come and build Stonehenge for us?
It's almost like UK's answer to the pyramids, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it? Because they just seem so bonkers that people would actually build something like that. So it must be aliens.
Stonehenge is older than pyramids, though, right?
Is it?
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean, yeah, of course?
I don't think they are. I think
what?
They're...
Really?
I don't know. Well, we've got a historian in the room. Should we ask her again?
I was Googling it, but yeah, ask Rachel. It'll be quicker. How old are the pyramids?
How old are the pyramids?
Thousands.
Older than Stonehenge?
No.
She says no. Rome! This is right.
Oh.
Well done, Tis.
Historian in the room, bruv.
This is why I have her with me. She's not actually working.
There's not that much in it. The pyramids are about 4,500 years old, and Stonehenge is like 5,000 years old.
Yeah, so it's probably around about the same kind of.
Stonehenge is older by like at least 500 years. Which is not nothing.
It's quite old. No. But in the entirety of human history, it's not
nothing.
That long.
No.
Yeah, but nothing. Göbekli Tepe is 7,000 years old.
What's that?
Göbekli Tepe is a Turkish structure that we'll talk about next episode.
We won't. It's mine. I'm not doing that.
So how was it built? How did they shape the big stones? Basically, archaeologists believed that ancient Britons would hammer wedges of wood into cracks in the stone, soak the wedges of wood in water, and then it would expand the wood and split the stone.
Right.
And then they would use chisels and hammers to shape them. But, you know, bear in mind, we're talking Neolithic age, so very basic. It's the Stone Age. It's, like, extremely basic stuff here. So this is kind of, like, wild.
You're saying
guess.
Basic, but I wouldn't have thought to do it that way.
No, I know. I wouldn't think to... let the wood soak up the water and then expand. It seems pretty advanced for me.
I would just go and walk around Wicks until I thought I saw something that might do it.
Yeah, they definitely had a Wicks, I think, in the Stonehenge. Stone Age. And so then the stones were then transported, and the the most widely known belief, or the one that I could find that seemed to be the most plausible anyway, was that they were carried on rafts down rivers.
Right.
And then dragged over land by big teams of men and ox. And then placed onto giant wooden stages and pulled along.
Teams of men and oxen.
I mean, I don't...
Back then, men could cover each other's oxen quite freely, actually.
What do you mean? Say that again. Yeah, what do you...
Men could cover each other's oxen. Isn't that one of the commandments? Thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's oxen.
Oh, I...
Is this Tiss's Bible stories?
Tiss's Bible stories.
Is this your version of the Ten Commandments?
Well, because it was like 5,000 BC or 3,000 BC.
Was that actually a Ten Commandment?
The Ten Commandments. Don't cover an oxen. Was when?
So the commandment is to not covet. So covet is like being jealous, envious, like wanting.
Yeah.
So the idea was to not covet your neighbour's possessions, and possessions at the time would have. It would have been like cattle, yeah, and flocks of sheep or, you know, things like that. So, and maybe oxen. I don't know.
My knowledge of the Ten Commandments is that episode of The Simpsons where he steals cable and they have that, it opens with like Homer the Thief. We're in the marketplace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
My lusty friend. That one, yeah. That's my knowledge of the Ten Commandments.
Hey, good evening, House Ron, carver of graven images.
Ah, good evening, Homer the Thief. How is business?
Been a little slow these past few months. Not much to steal in the desert, you know.
Ah, do not worry, my friend. I figure we'll be wandering out here. Another 2 weeks, tops.
Hey, good evening, Zohar the Adulterer. My wife sends her warmest regards.
Oh, yes. She's a good woman. Very good.
Thank you, my lusty friend.
Moses is back.
Quick, everybody look busy. The Lord has handed down to us 10 commandments by which to live. I will now read them in no particular order. Thou shalt not make any graven images.
Oh, my God!
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Ah, well, looks like the party's over.
Hey, Moses, keep them coming. Thou shalt not steal.
Don't!
Sorry, Homer.
But is that how it happened? He just came to top of a rock and said, don't do these things?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, the oxen thing, I can find out for sure.
Again, I'm really impressed by Tiss's knowledge of the Bible.
You're not going to be far off. I do want to look because it's not, you're not, like I say, it's, you're not going to be far off at all. It's going to be something like that.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's oxen.
Who said it?
Moses.
Moses, isn't it?
Was it Moses again?
It's Moses.
Is that before or after he turned into a camel?
He turned into a camel, didn't he? All right, here we go. Tiss, I'm impressed. You must not covet your neighbour's house. You must not covet your neighbour's wife. Fair enough. Male or female servant. Ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to a neighbour.
Boom.
So he did name check the ox.
So thou shalt not covet your neighbour's oxen. Yeah, not far
kind
off.
Of, yeah,
I'm
you're
impressed.
Not wrong.
Tiss knows his Bible better than I know it. That's good.
He definitely knows it better than I do.
What, Tiss, where did you learn all this Bible?
Burning Bush.
Did you go to Sunday school?
It's crazy how he retained it all. He doesn't remember
stuff.
Yeah, how
do you retain this information?
And then he knows all this.
Because it's, I just, just got told it.
But we tell you stuff all the time and you forget.
Oh, short-term memory is fucked. Long-term memory is great. I can remember the most random shit that happened 10 years ago. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, so...
Anyway, so they were covered in a load of ox with these rocks.
They could cover oxen at that point because there was no one to tell them not to.
Yeah, so they're all dragging these rocks, covering each other's oxen on the way.
But bear in mind, these...
they're all making side eyes each other's oxes.
It's the ones that it's the ones that have more oxen.
I thought you said cover. I thought you said cover.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. I was like, what's
cover
all
them
about?
With what?
I thought you meant like covering shifts. Like they put the ox on top of the rock sometimes. Oh, I'll take this one. I'll take this shift.
Oh, there we go.
Right, anyway,
So they transported these 50-ton rocks. I mean, I'm not questioning Beavis and Bite size, because that's how I got my education.
Beavis and Bite?
But, but it says here... It's believed that the stones were placed on giant wood sledges and poured along the ground using log rollers. It's just not worth it, is it?
Log rollers.
It just seems like such an effort.
I did a log roller earlier.
Oh, for God's sake. I'm not cutting
so
that.
So juvenile.
That's so juvenile. That might be the most childish thing that I've ever left in an episode.
There's such a difference to Tiss in this episode compared to Tiss with Toothache last time.
I am so juvenile today. I feel very juvenile.
God.
Right.
So, this is bonkers enough. This whole thing is bonkers enough. And then this is where it gets even interesting. So now we're going to look at... we're going to look at your question, Bob. Where did the stones come from?
Came from Wales.
South Wales.
The other stone did.
And we spoilt it.
He's the guy who told us.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
I did mention it.
It's southern Wales.
It was just the altar stone was from Wales, though, wasn't it?
The altar stone was from Wales. But the two types of Stonehenge, so do you remember I mentioned the sarsen stones, the vinegar stones?
Yeah.
The blue stones.
So the sarsen stones are made from a silcrete rock, which can be found all over southern England. So that's plentiful. That's pretty much everywhere, apparently.
Right.
But most archaeologists believe that those stones were brought in from the Marlborough Downs, so about 20 miles away. So still a fair distance. A long way to drag a rock, but not as far as South Wales. Mm. But we still don't know the exact place, but that's an archaeologist's best guess, that that's where they would have got the sarsen rock from. The sarsen rocks weighed about 25 tons, so, I mean, that's just enormous, isn't it? It's just unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, blue stones, they're the smaller stones, which I showed you in the picture just earlier.
Yeah, there's a ring of them between the arches.
Now, they vary in their geology, but they all come from the Presilly Hills in southwest Wales.
So they're from Wales as well?
Yeah.
Flipping heck. Of
those stones. Now, they're much lighter. They're only between 2 and 5 tons each, those tiny stones. But they're still... That's like dragging... A big car.
Would you rather take that all the way from Wales or the heavier one just up the road?
Oh, good question.
It's question of the week.
I think I'd do the shorter distance because maybe you'd have more people to help. I don't know though. I'm not sure. Further distance with basically between 2 and 5 tons.
It's like you call one of your mates, you're like, can you just give me a hand shifting something? Oh, go on then. And they get there and it's that fucking rock. You said you'd help.
Yeah, you're here now.
Fucking whining the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, two tons is like a car. 5 tons must be like a...
Two and a half cars.
So still bloody heavy. And you've got to do that, yeah, exactly. You've got to do that over, I don't know, how many miles from Wales to Stonehenge?
Lots of long miles.
Like far too long. So why? And you know, in true Weird Tales fashion, I didn't research for hours and hours and hours and end with this because we don't, that's not the way we research our episodes. But I
because it was
see...
your birthday yesterday and you wanted to play video games.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. But I couldn't find, and Rachel couldn't tell me either, so it must be true, why you'd drag these rocks from, why would you do that? That's an enormous amount of rocks.
So they don't actually know why?
No.
Interesting.
Still a mystery. It's still a mystery why you would, you, I mean, I don't know, is there something particularly...
Was there something that they thought was particularly sacred about the location they were from in Wales, these rocks?
I don't know, exactly. And were they originally set up in that location and then they moved shop to near a Tiss? Like, I don't...
It's just hypothesising, isn't it? There's got to be a reason, because they wouldn't do it if they didn't have to, or if they didn't feel they had to.
No. No, exactly. There must have been a pretty good... I would need a bloody good reason to move stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that still remains a mystery, which is really interesting. Like, I just can't think of any particular reason at all. But then we're talking about people that lived thousands of years ago. We're not going to ever understand them or understand their motives or religions, beliefs, or that, you know, that's all going to remain a mystery to us.
Can
really.
You imagine meeting someone in a time machine from that long ago?
Yeah, I just...
You wouldn't be able to get across anything to each other.
No, you wouldn't. Even if it was possible in that moment for you to both speak the same language, you still wouldn't understand each other.
No, you'd have better chance of an alien.
Do you know what your best hope would be?
What's that, Tiss?
Your best hope.
Go on.
Right.
Would be music.
Oh.
The best hope is you'd do like beats on your legs, like drum beats or something. You could communicate through beats.
What could you communicate through the beat?
Just the vibe, general vibe.
It's the vibe of no, it's like nowadays.
Just the vibe of the times.
I'd show my iPhone.
Would you?
Yeah.
I just couldn't. It's a bit like, is it Ricky Gervais who said to Carl Pilkington that if a lion could speak
language,
English, you still wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand each other.
Yeah.
I just couldn't... You wouldn't be able to find any... Maybe music.
Because the way you perceive the world is so different. There's no...
Yeah.
There's no common ground.
No, but maybe Tiss is right. Maybe it's music.
Yeah.
Music is always the common ground.
That's why we send music up in space stations, isn't it, for the aliens?
Music is maths, and maths is universal.
Tiss would get his mum to carry his drum kit to Stonehenge.
Yeah.
And then... Shout at her because she didn't put the duvet in the bass in the kit.
The duvet in the what? In the bass drum.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Oh, it's gonna sound shit now. They won't appreciate it.
So now we're gonna come on to what's it for. What is this massive stone monument?
I want to hear some theories on this, yeah.
I know.
Do you actually?
Go on, Tiss.
It's to measure the equinoxes, because the sun rises directly between certain stones at certain times of the year.
Yeah, correct. That's one of the theories. So it's,
well done.
It's believed that ancient Britons... they believed that the sun and the moon had special power over their lives, so they would almost like pilgrimage.
Well, they do.
Or it's believed that, well, yeah, they do still now, but we do that because we think they used to have like special ceremonies at Stonehenge on Midsummer's Day, so the longest day of the year, and then Midwinter's Day, the shortest day of the year.
Mm.
So that's the most common reason, and it's probably the one that most people, like, it makes logical sense, maybe.
I didn't know that. So.
But again, I don't know. It might seem logical to us, but it might...
I don't really know what solstice is.
No, I don't. I just know it's... I just in my calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I sit on a calendar and go, oh,
Oh, it's winter solstice today.
I know about as much about that as I do about like St. Swithin's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Tis, what's summer
solstice?
Is it something
to do with agriculture?
Summer solstice?
Yeah. Mm. Is it something... in my mind, it's something to do with farming or something. Don't know.
The way he said summer solstice was like, is the first time
he'd
ever...
all about
it. Like the first time he'd ever heard them two words.
No,
but
no.
It was him that just brought it up.
No.
Summer solstice.
No. I was shocked. No, because the reason why solstice is linked to farming is because of pagan worship. And
right.
That's what the seasons are based around, the farming seasons. Or at least...
Right.
Yeah, I think that... I don't know which one follows which, but anyway, they all tie in together. So I think that's... But, the solstice is something to do with the sun moving or rising in different places or different times of day. It's like a shift. Mm. Some sort of shift into a different...
is it just time of year? Seems pretty like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like there's enough in it for me, that because my understanding is that on those days the sun rises like directly, like you said earlier, Tis, directly down the middle of the monument.
Yeah.
Like I don't, is it just that it looks really pretty? I don't really understand.
Right, okay, I mean, this is what it says in the dictionary.
People that long ago had very simple needs, like the sun rising through two stones. So.
It is literally just like when the sun is at the peak of the longest day. That's literally what summer solstice means. The solstice that marks the onset of summer at the time of the longest day around the 21st of June in the Northern Hemisphere and 22nd December in the Southern Hemisphere. It's just, that's what it is. There's nothing more.
If we put ourselves in the minds of ancient Britons 3,000 years ago, if you believed that the sun and the moon had healing powers or special powers, then it would seem completely sane. Like it would just be part of normal life to do that. Because, well, why wouldn't you? It would seem almost like a... It's like a worldview, isn't it? Their worldview would have been... That's what we do because then we get special powers from the sun and the moon. So you go,
yeah. When is the like height of the longest day middle of summer for the sun? This is its special day. It's like the sun's birthday. That's what you celebrate.
And then the moon's birthday at the end of the year. Yeah,
I got the scholastic answer here for us children.
Go on.
The day that the Earth's north pole is tilted closest to the sun is called the summer solstice. This is the longest day with most daylight hours of the year for people living in the Northern Hemisphere. It is also the day the sun reaches the highest point in the sky. So it's that, yeah, celebration of the sun. We're going to call it the sun's birthday.
Sun's birthday. Happy birthday, sun. Not my sun, the sun. It's not Joel's birthday.
So that's
probably the most plausible reason. What do you think of that? What do you guys think of the solstices?
It makes sense. Like you say, the sun's important to us now. It's important. It's been important to all cultures at all times. So especially then, you're like, what else have we got to worship? This is 3,000 years before, you know, Christianity and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, before modern religion, yeah.
Exactly. This is ancient stuff. So what have you got? Well, this big glowing being in the sky. That's what we're going to celebrate. So let's build this amazing monument.
I just imagine all of the people in that time just like getting super fucked up on like mushrooms. And they're just like, hey man, let's just build this massive monument to the sun.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be organised enough to build that if they were as wasted as you're saying they are.
They would be wasted.
Yeah, maybe they never finished it. Maybe it never looked any different. The way it is now, where it's all fucking knocked over. That's as far as they got.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't put the mushrooms down.
No, they just told that'll other do. People to do it.
Yeah, that'll do. It seemed like a good idea when they were like high the day before.
Like the aliens that contacted them via the mushrooms brought them the stones. And arranged it in this sort of weird game editor style.
Are there some people that think it is a satellite for contacting aliens?
Yeah.
Right, good. Just checking. That seemed like the sort of thing that people would think, so I just wanted that clarified.
Could be.
So we're just going to quickly look at some of the other reasons, some of the other things which may be less plausible. I don't know. Maybe they're not. So that
reason, it is like, so yeah. Like what, a solstice monument to solstice?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, monument to solstice, celebration of the sun and moon. I guess you could call it almost like a ritual or a pilgrimage.
Ooh,
like
a pilgrimage. Ritual. I bet there's been some witchcraft rituals on that location.
I couldn't find much about witchcraft, to be honest.
They're not
going to
tell you,
I'm sure there will be.
They're not going to tell you.
No, they wouldn't tell you that. Why would they let that slip? Okay, yeah, so like I say, I've just got a few more things here, which are quite interesting, just quite interesting theories. So the next one is that Stonehenge was used as a burial site for the elite.
Mm. So that's like a pyramid.
Yeah, pyramid. Yeah, exactly. Which again would seem completely plausible. Mm-hmm. So, as it was used in the late Neolithic period, the theory is that it would have been used for a burial site, but for the elite, for the scholars, the philosophers, the.
Isn't it interesting that even that many years ago we still had the concept of like this person is elite compared to us plebs?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting that even ancient, the ancient people would,
like, what have they got over you in that time?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and this is a theory which could, it's suggested that it wouldn't just be within one time frame. It could be that many centuries later it was used for a different reason. So it might have been a monument to the sun and the moon, or like a pilgrimage or a ritual, thousands of years ago. But then thousands of years later, maybe it was then a burial site. Archaeologists have found, like thousands of bones and skeletons.
Yeah, but there's bones everywhere,
isn't there? Exactly. So that's why that kind of falls apart.
What bit of ground hasn't got a bone under it?
Exactly. So it's sort of, you could say that, well, there's evidence there because there were, archaeologists have found bones from that era there. But yeah, like you say, you could probably say that's probably true for most of the country. The next theory comes back to something that Tiss said at the beginning. So the theory is that Stonehenge is a giant calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Giant astronomical calendar. So there's references here to Stonehenge having like a celestial influence, and apparently being aligned with different parts of the sky and being aligned with different stars and different moons. And so therefore it's theoretically possible that it could have been used as like a big observatory that would connect the Earth to the sky.
Yeah, what else have you got to study at that time other than the sky?
Yeah, exactly.
So you would be reading the sky, reading the stars, linking it to the seasons, linking it to the changing of the Earth. So maybe a way to sort of quantify that. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it might seem quite crazy to us now, but like you say, they didn't really have a lot else going on.
A bit bored, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. But you, if it does align with, and your knowledge shows that it aligns with certain specific stars, then why wouldn't you think that? It would seem logical, I suppose. The next thing, and this is, I'm going through like the main ones that I was able to find. So listeners might be able to find lots more. But the final one I was able to find was that it was a place of healing.
Okay.
According to Professor Timothy Darville and Jeff Rainwhite, they suggest that the monument was a site of pilgrimage and healing because they believed that there were like curative properties within the bluestone.
Okay.
So once upon a time, there was belief that there were properties within the stone that maybe if you touched them or you were able to be in the presence of blue stone, then it would heal you of certain ailments and illnesses. Which is again quite interesting, and just another good thought.
Anything goes though, because obviously we don't know what it is for, so you can throw any theory out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could just say, "Oh, it's just a gathering place, just like Village Fate."
Yeah,
we just like I always thought like might didn't some people said like might have just been like they put on shows there, theater.
Yeah. That was actually something that was kind of quite vague. I couldn't find too much about that. Mm. But yeah, it's been suggested.
Because you can just throw anything out there, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Or like that was like a meeting place. Like, yeah. Oh, I'll meet you at Stonehenge. We'll meet you there tomorrow at noon. Or, I don't know.
Or they look at their fucking sundial watches.
Yeah, just have.
I'm thinking of them ones that Fred Flintstone wears.
So finally, before we move on to my last little segment, the most sort of widely accepted theory is that it was probably all of the above.
Right.
That at some point in the ancient history of Stonehenge, it's probably been used for lots of different things.
It's like a civic center.
Yeah, I guess like the Civic Centre.
Like the Agora.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so stupid. Yeah. No, yeah, I guess like the Civic Centre.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be a fete there, then you can go and see a comedian next weekend. Yeah. Some yoga people are practising the next weekend. Like,
we've got some new age people.
Is it
coming?
All booked out Stonehenge? No, it's free that weekend. Cool. You know, we've got a gig on.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. I love that. We've just reduced Stonehenge to the Civic Centre.
Yeah, the Salisbury Civic Centre.
Yeah, amazing. But which one do you guys like or do you think is most like reasonable?
So what I've got here, have I missed any? I've got a monument, a solstice monument, a monument to the sun and the moon.
Yep.
A burial site for the elites.
Yep.
An astronomical calendar.
Yeah.
A site of healing. Mm-hmm. And an alien antenna.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Are they the main ones? Have I missed any?
You haven't missed any.
No, or the Salisbury Civic Centre.
Or the Salisbury Civic Centre. All of the above.
I mean, realistically, I think the most likely one is the one that Tiz said at the beginning, the solstice monument.
Yeah.
Which is why people still go there for solstice now.
Yeah.
Mm.
And some people genuinely think that when solstice hits, it's like a sort of... Is it on ley lines or something? Something to do with... I've heard people say that the energy is really good at that time of year, like as if like it was built to measure the solstice because that's the event that triggers that area or something like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's how you know it's working because the sun rises in that thing.
Right. Maybe we should go there one year for a Weird Tales trip. Weird Tales solstice.
Yeah, we'll drive past in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
It'd be really quick.
I mean, it's a long way for me to come to stand there for
the morning.
Yeah,
it is a bit far for you. Here's a question, though, before we move on.
Yeah.
Why, if it is just like a solstice thing, could they not just do that in Wales? Why not just get all this? Why drag? I still can't get my head around.
I think Tiss is right about the location, then believing, whether or not it's true, whether then believing like this location has good energy for that.
I'd be like, well, how much better is it in Salisbury? Because that's a long way. Like, is it worth it? Is it that much better? Because have you considered, like, talking to the foreman here, like, have you considered how we're going to do this? It's going to be a nightmare.
It's going to be great.
Like, Tony's only got 10 oxen. You know, This is going to take us ages.
Yeah, but Nigel's been coveting them all morning.
he's been covering them.
So I just think it's a 4-hour drive. That's actually not as far as I thought, but it's too long for me to drive to go and stand next to it when the sun comes up. Unless it really is a magical experience. Hey, listeners, if you've ever been to summer solstice at Stonehenge, let us know. Is it worth 4 hours drive?
You know my ideas behind, you know my thoughts behind whether or not it was worth it. Finally, do you guys want to hear some stupid conspiracy theories about it?
Oh, 100%.
100%.
They are very silly and they are quite short.
Okay.
But they're fun.
That's the best kind of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so short because they've got no credibility to them. As soon as you exactly. scratch like the tiniest below the surface, it falls to dust.
So here we go for the conspiracy theory number one.
Okay.
Strap yourselves in.
I'm strapped.
The first conspiracy theory is that a giant built it.
No.
A giant?
Yeah, no. A giant.
I know that's not true, because if that was true, you would have told me that on your episode about giants.
Yeah, that is true. Exactly.
You wouldn't have missed a nugget like that.
No, absolute doozy like this. Well, let's give it a little bit of time. So,
didn't we used to be smaller, not bigger?
Didn't people used to be smaller? Yeah, because yeah. You look at those, look at like thatched cottages,
yeah, old They're, houses.
Doorways are small, aren't they?
Even my old house in Wing, that was small.
Yeah, I think people have got bigger, haven't they?
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Neither do I, because there's more of us. We need to take up less space.
Yeah, we need to get smaller. Never mind. believe it or not, this actually is tied in with King Arthur.
Right.
And apparently, King Arthur's sorcerer, Merlin.
Yep. I've been to his cave.
Have you?
Tintagel.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Merlin had a giant, that
he wasn't in.
He told to build the structure for King Arthur.
I didn't know he had a giant.
Apparently. Yeah, I don't know. But this is exactly why it's absolute crap, because there's not much in this. There's no name for the giant. What I love, I love this. Why exactly the giant agreed, or what was in it for him, isn't clear. Mm. So I would agree with that. So the next one, this one is probably like it's just very loose and a bit like nothing really in this. But the one of the explanations is that it was an ancient team building exercise.
Mm.
So for some reason,
well, you have to work as a team to drag the rocks.
Yeah, the Neolithics decided, do you know what? Let's just build a massive structure made of giant sarsen stones and bluestones and drag it hundreds of miles over there. No.
Team building exercises is a very like late 90s, early 2000s concept. And no one likes them.
So you don't think that they would have done like in The Office where they do... No, not The Office. It's when they do like the catching, like you fall back and someone catches you, that kind of like... Or you've got to build a bridge out of newspaper and spaghetti, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they do it in The Office, don't they? Because then isn't the whole thing with the... they got to work together with the... there's been a rape up there, that episode. Isn't that about...
Yeah.
That episode's... Oh my fucking God, that episode's so funny.
Get their attention.
That's all about team building exercises. They're doing like puzzles together and stuff.
That's hilarious.
That might be the best episode, yeah.
It is. It is fantastic. Gold. Just really briefly, do you remember when we ducked out of a team building exercise on the first day of sixth form, Bob, and we went to get some Chinese instead?
Is that when they had the army guys in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was like, fuck that. I was like not in the mood for that. I was like, I didn't like the idea of getting shouted at by some army sergeant and welcome me. I didn't find that welcoming on my first day of sixth form.
No.
I was like, no, I'm not going.
No.
And they're like, here you are. I was like, why are you? How can you make me do this? I don't want to do it. And then, we just walked into the village.
Yeah, no, I didn't fancy.
Went and got a samurai.
Miss Lynott wasn't very happy, but
no, they really fucking got a sulk on that. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, no, can't make
me.
It.
Can't make me.
No, I'm an adult now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
next one.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm such a big boy. I'm going to go and sulk in the park and wing it in a samurai.
Yeah. Eating like sweet and sour chicken balls in the park.
Yeah.
So, not team building exercise then.
No, definitely not.
What about next one? Here we go. You touched on it earlier. Aliens. Aliens did it.
No.
No.
Why would they?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't understand.
Why wouldn't they? There's nothing to benefit for them.
Oh.
I mean, there's nothing to benefit for us, really, but at least it... Like, it's our planet. So get out.
Why would they go to...
No, it's our planet, so we want to, like, worship the sun and stuff. Why would an alien move a rock from Wales?
And then just, go home again?
Yeah, and then bugger off.
Well, how do you know they're going to home?
Unless it was a message.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a message to us.
So this is probably this is probably the strangest one.
Okay.
Probably strange, or like the maybe not strange. Aliens are pretty strange.
Yeah, they're a bit weird, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a Neolithic sex symbol.
Like this.
So here we go. I'm going to read this out actually because I want to get this right. In 2003,
Steve, is this one going to get me randy, baby?
Oh,
I don't know. I hope not. That would be getting a bonk on at Stonehenge would be a new low for you.
How outdated is an Austin Powers impression? Yeah, babe.
So, in 2003, a single researcher. From, it says single. I think it just means one person, not like her relationship status or their relationship status.
Oh, behave.
Oh, man.
It's not me for once.
Yeah, sorry. You know what? I'm so tired. I'm being silly.
I don't know. Your log roller comment from earlier was pretty low.
Yeah, that is low.
Me trying to hide from it with Bob's comment.
Throwing me under the bus.
People in class houses, eh?
Right, okay. So there's a single... Singleton.
So, a researcher from the University of British Columbia claimed that Stonehenge was an ancient sex symbol intentionally constructed to look like the female sexual organ.
In the sense that it's a circle.
I guess it's a bit like...
This might shock you, but I've seen a female sex organ. It's not just a circle.
Is it not?
No.
Have you seen a vagina, then?
Please, don't make me say it. Oh, behave.
Oh, behave.
You know what? Austin Powers is amazing. It's really fucking good, actually. I've come the other way. It's actually good.
It is good. It is good. You've gone full circle.
Think we all started thinking I was a bit of stupid shit. I used to think funny when I was a teenager. And now I've gone the other way. And actually, Austin Powers fucking rules.
It was awesome. So I'm going to end on this quote. Dr. Perks, from the University of British Columbia, says this.
This coffee tastes like shit. It is shit, Austin.
from the start of this episode, what listener was expecting that the final third of it would just be us doing bad Austin Powers impressions? Shag, babe.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go. She I'm going to try what? And get through this. Said this, if ideas of Earth Mother originated with or were shared by the people of the Henge, Stonehenge could represent symbolically the opening by which Earth Mother gave birth to the plants and animals on which the ancient people so depended. I mean...
Crikey, I've lost over. My mojo. Nah.
It's just stupid, isn't it? There's just no need for that.
Not
it's just
Shagadelic, baby.
No. So, and that wasn't my last one. This is my last one. This is quite interesting. Kind of comes back to something we were talking about earlier, something that Tiss mentioned.
Was it his log roll?
not his log roll. It
going
wasn't
back
his
to
log
what Tiss said earlier.
About his log roll.
Someone did bury their log roll there.
One theory, which is a bit out there, but could be, was that the circular construction of Stonehenge mimics a soundscape.
Right. So it's an art installation.
So, yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Coming back to the... Yeah. So the theory of Stephen Waller, who is a researcher in archaeacoustics, says that if two pipers were to play their instruments in a field, a listener would notice a strange effect. And in certain spots, the sound waves from the two pipes would cancel each other out, creating quiet spots. So the stones of Stonehenge create a similar effect, apparently, except with stones, rather than competing sound waves blocking sound. Waller reported at this meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Other researchers have confirmed that apparently Stonehenge had amazing acoustics. And so the circle we've created reverberations similar to like a cathedral or a concert hall today.
Mm.
So it really was the civic centre.
I was going to say, like I said earlier about him doing music there and using it as... I mean, like Tiss was saying earlier, like music's very primal. And even then, I think music would have been important to people. The sun would have been important to people. Even the combination of these things, they probably did. Even if it was just a place of worship, like what place of worship doesn't play music?
Hmm.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, whatever, regardless of whatever it was for, I imagine there would have been music there.
Yeah.
I don't know if don't know if it would have been a conscious decision that they made it with banging acoustics. But
no. I don't think that was in the blueprints when they designed it. No.
It was.
I think it was a happy coincidence that you think they set it up and they're like,
yeah.
Do you?
Everything from the past is intentional. Everything.
Okay.
And no one can prove
everything
otherwise.
Everything from the past. Well.
And no one can prove that either.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I still happen to think it might have been like a happy coincidence.
I think it's an unhappy coincidence, actually. I think they were playing music in there and they were just like, this is way too echoey. We can't record in here.
Well, it doesn't matter because if I reckon one piper must have been playing and then they just thought, oh, this sounds pretty cool. And then
was it
piper?
He was like, go over there with your pipe.
Was it a Billy Piper?
God. Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
Very ouch.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Tiss is
logged off. He's logged off.
Who knows? The thing is, Tiss is just as right as anyone because none of us actually know.
Well, calm down.
So, calm down, baby. That's got to be in there, isn't it? I don't know. I've not seen Austin Powers for a while.
Oh, I've got to go. I'm going to go and watch it as soon as the film festival's over. I'll watch Austin Powers.
silly thing is, it was on TV a couple of weeks ago and I didn't watch it because I was like, oh, this is silly. Me and Rachel started watching it. We're like, this is really silly. We'd forgotten how silly it was.
Oh, yeah, it is silly, but it's good.
It is very silly. So that concludes the conspiracy theories, and that pretty much concludes everything for the episode.
So what we've come down is that we still don't know what it's for.
We don't know what it's for. We don't really know why they would shift everything from South Wales. Or at least it just doesn't seem... it doesn't seem enough of a reason. I don't know, maybe... Maybe worshipping the sun and the moon took the most priority, and then so it would make sense to move it. You would just do it because it's a god, and so why wouldn't you? It would make logical sense, so maybe. I don't know.
Well, listeners, let us know what you think. What is it? What? Why?
What is Stonehenge, and why move the rock? Email us at WTATU@bobshoy.podomatic.
I really thought you were actually going to get it right then.
Email us at whymovetherock.com/ yeah, why move the goddamn rock.
Yeah, so it's still full of mystery all these years later.
Whymovetherocks.com is available.
If they'd have just written it down, they could have carved it into a rock, couldn't they?
Especially these years later anyway, to be honest. Like, no one knows anything about them.
Just pop it on the rock. Just engrave something on the rock and then we'd know. That's just annoying they didn't write it down.
It's
they
like when you move into a house and you go to redecorate and you strip the wallpaper off and the previous people who decorated had written a little note for you behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like that.
If you shift one of them rocks, there's probably underneath one of them saying, like, Nigel put it here for a banging gig. 3000 BC.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the idea of him then calling it 3000 BC. Like, yeah. they knew something was happening.
They knew Jesus was coming.
Years. Well, so it was a calendar, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they would have known.
Right. Well, thanks, Beef. I know a little bit more than I knew about Stonehenge now.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we all learnt a little bit tonight.
Yeah. And if listeners do want to tell us what they think about Stonehenge or about us, baby, then they can do so at WTATUpod@gmail.com. Or you can go to WeirdTalesAndTheUnexplainable.com. You can contact us through there instead. There's a contact button. And on that website, you can also find all the things, everything. The links to buy T-shirts, support us monetarily, links to our social medias. We've got a lot of people on the Facebook. That's a pretty positive place where we get nice comments from people underneath the messages and things. And you can go to my website, which is bobshoy.com, B-O-B-S-H-O-Y. That's where you can see everything else I work on and ways to support my time researching and editing different podcasts as part of the Bob Shoy Podcast Network. Guys, I've got a question of the week here.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
Oh, I know Pet of the Week's over, but I did think we got one still today. So this listener's probably just a little bit behind on episodes, doesn't know. But I wasn't going to do any more Pet of the Week, but I thought you'd enjoy this dog because it looks awesome.
Oh, whose dog is that?
That is from Jim Birchall. That's Bonnie the Husky.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I really shouldn't have done that because I promised no more Pet of the Week and it's going to encourage people. Really now, no more Pets of the Week. In fact, that wasn't a Pet of the Week. It was just a dog we talked about. Now, question of the week.
Question of the week.
This one's from... I sent this a while back. This is from Johnny Smith. And he said, quick fire question for you all. You have 1 month on Earth as the only human being, and you can travel anywhere in the world, doesn't matter how, what's the first place you go to and why? You're the only
person. So we've only got 1 month.
You've got a month, and you're the only human being on Earth, and you can get to anywhere. And he said he asked some of his friends, and they all gave answers like Hawaii and Florida and Paris. I think they missed the point completely. His first choice was Area 51.
Oh, because you're the only person on Earth.
Yeah. So you can go anywhere.
Okay. Well, now he's taken Area 51.
It's the obvious
one,
isn't it?
He's taken the best answer.
It's the obvious one. I don't think I want to know, though. I think I would like to just go to, like, like a big city that's cool and be the only person in it, like walk around Tokyo for a month on my own, like I can go anywhere and walk around and it'd be weird and eerie,
It would be eerie, wouldn't it? Yeah. I wouldn't like it because Tokyo's so ginormous.
As long as I knew that it was only for a month, like everyone was coming back, then I could enjoy it for the surreal, eerie experience that it is.
But then when everyone comes back, like a month is a long time, isn't it, to be in solitude?
Yeah, I like being in solitude.
I mean, I see, now I can't find an interesting answer because Area 51 just does it.
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard off the top of your head.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, can you... It depends if you can travel... You said you can go anywhere. Do you have to just pick one place and stay there for a month? Because otherwise you could zip around everywhere. I can go to Antarctica and see how cold it is for a second and then get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just to the top of Everest.
Yeah, take some pictures.
Yeah, and then back
I'll again. Take pictures of myself in different people's houses and wait for them to come back and then post them to them.
Tis, do you know?
Have you got anything, Tis?
Have I got anything in terms of where I'd go?
Yeah.
Number stations? I'd find a number station.
But how would you find it?
Just no one's there.
Just have to scour the world.
I think B's right. I think Area 51 is the obvious answer.
I think it's the only answer, because otherwise you're just saying, yeah, what's but, okay, your favourite
okay,
place on Earth?
Okay, what about like the White House, rifle through the drawers?
Yeah, White House, Buckingham Palace. Yeah. But Buckingham Palace, like the Queen's bedroom.
Do a poo in her underwear drawer.
I suppose, yeah, I guess maybe like... just... At first, I thought you were just going to say do a poo in her toilet.
Well, that as well, the power of it.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, Downing Street, I suppose, would be a good one.
Any shyster politician.
Just, I definitely do a poo in his drawer.
Take some evidence with you and then, you know.
Yeah. And then you could blackmail.
Or, you know... I'd go anywhere in the world and there's no one there for a month. I would just like go to like a big bank vault and take loads of gold and then wait for everyone to come back and then sell it and then I'd be sitting pretty for the rest of my life. I don't really care about everyone's secrets. I'd rather have my own life be kind of sweet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet to rob a bank without people knowing.
Yeah. And the reason I say gold is because you can sell it off. If you got all the cash, they might trace that.
Yeah. Gold's harder to trace. All the bullying.
Then me, like I have no knowledge about anything about the underworld or anything. I don't know where I'm gonna think I'm gonna find somewhere to buy a load of gold bars.
I think you were just thinking of GTA 5.
Put them on eBay.
For heists. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Tis, did you have an idea? Or did you answer? You didn't answer.
I answered.
Did you?
Tis is just going to go on a number station exploring spree.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I can't think of anywhere else. If you could be any... I don't know.
It's too hard, isn't it? Off the top of your head.
There's probably more mysterious places like the deep in the Amazon, is it? No, deep in the... Oh. There's like a... hidden civilizations in deep in the jungle, isn't there?
But if you were there for a month...
Yeah, but there's animals are still there.
Do you have to know that they're there? Do you have to know where they are to get there?
That's an interesting point.
Or can you just, like, theorize, I want to be at the lost city of whatever, and then it'll take you there?
Yeah.
I think, you know, they always say that underneath the White House there's always, like, hidden bunkers with everything and that. That'd be pretty juicy. If that's true,
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
What's like juicy enough for them to hide under the White House?
Well, the same could be said of London.
We just got trains under that.
Yeah, the Bakerloo line. that's my phone again. This happened last time, do you remember?
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to turn my alarm off. What was I going to say? I was going to say something really quickly. The only thing with your Amazon idea, Tis, as well, is... I've got a few questions. One, are you there for the whole month?
Yes.
Because if you are, you then have to survive in a jungle with, like you say, like tarantulas and snakes and leopards. And...
No human to, like, patch you up.
No, I just die knowing that I saw it.
On the first day?
Yeah.
I don't think I could last a day.
If you do survive the month, then you might the people that then come back on that day could be like cannibals.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then imagine that as like a death.
Being a...
Yeah, I'd probably just choose like IHOP or something then.
A month long holiday just eating pancakes.
No,
I think, question.
I think my selfish answer, my honest answer is like, I'm going to go and rob that bank.
Yeah.
And enough, I'm going to rob enough to like, when it all goes back to normal, get that money. I'm going to set myself up sitting pretty and I can give a load away as well to places. So it's not completely selfish.
What would you do with the gold then? Just
sell it.
Just sell it on eBay.
Yeah, I'd take it down to them places that they advertise and tell you, like, we buy your gold. And they expect you to turn up with some, like, gold chains and stuff, and I'd turn up with, like, bullion.
So your idea is to just go and pawn a load of gold?
Yeah.
That you nicked from a bank?
Yeah. But I would nick it from somewhere so, like, the opposite side of the world, so no one's going to trace anything.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's me.
Well, it's your answer. You can say whatever you
want. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I don't. Brilliant. I'll let them have the secrets, because if I knew all the secret answers, I wouldn't have a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that is true.
Or you could go on the podcast and tell us all the secrets.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like the Masked Magician, but like history.
But no one believe me. Yeah. Imagine I'm some crackpot. Like, yeah, honestly, I had a month where none of you exist on Earth. You don't remember, and I could travel anywhere, and I know all the answers. People are like, "Who is this fucking idiot?"
Yeah. You'd be put in an asylum.
That's us done, I think. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for hosting, Beefy. Glad your teeth are better, Tissy. And
Thank you. Next time,
I don't know which way around we're doing it. It should be my turn, but I know Rick's ready to go over Revisited. So you've got 2 episodes left this year. I don't know which way round they're going to be, but you've got one from me and one that me and Rick are putting together. So listeners, that's what you got. And I thought we were going to have time to squeeze in a weird news, but I've looked at the calendar and we're not. So maybe we'll do a weird news next season when we start next year.
Yeah.
We'll open next year.
We might not be able to squeeze it in.
No, we'll be back in February, pending, on Beef's availability after he's had his baby. We've got a cool concept, but we'll talk about that at the end of the series anyway. Yeah. But we'll do a weird news then. Don't expect a weird news this year is what I'm saying. At the end of this year. So, right. Beef, have you got a good sign-off for us?
Well, I wouldn't call it good. What was it? Oh, yeah. So, thanks for henging out with us.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
I told you it wasn't good.
This didn't even respond.
No. I don't think Tiss even knows we're still talking.
It's really bad. I think it's one of the worst you've ever done, to be honest.
Well, I don't know what else you'd do. I don't know. It's time to rock and roll.
No.
What?
Come on then, smarty roses. Pants.
It's made of rocks. It's because it's made of rocks and they had gigs there.
And they rolled all the way from Wales, didn't they? So, you know. Yeah, go on then. There must be... Can you think of one?
I was going to try and do like... like so long, but like solstice long.
Oh no.
It doesn't work at all. There's way too many syllables.
Stinky. It just doesn't work at all.
It is stinky, isn't it? But everyone likes their own brand.
What's Stonehenge's favourite crisp flavour?
Sarsen stone salt and vinegar.
Ready solstice. or salt and vinegar.
Oh, right, I'm stopping there. That's good enough.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do. My favourite Austin Powers film, Shrek 1. Oh man. Yeah, see you later then, everyone.
film festival's been good, boys.
Oh, well, has it?
Still on. Good. It's on till Thursday. I've currently watched 34 films on it.
Wow, you're getting your money's worth then.
I've been at the cinema so much. One day I watched 4 films in a row at the cinema.
Really?
Yeah. You get any into like a absolute... swing of it.
What's the best one you've seen any, so like... far?
Yeah.
Best one I watched a Palestinian film called 200 Meters, which was awesome. I really loved that. That's probably my favourite. There was one that I think you'd both enjoy, but I think Tissa specifically. There's one called Absolute Denial. Okay. And it was fucking awesome. It was a sci-fi, animated sci-fi film that was written, directed, and animated by one guy. And it's all about...
what's it called?
Absolute Denial. It just came out. It's like, a lot of these films I'm watching, they're like not even on IMDb. Or you go on, they've got like 20 reviews or something. But yeah, it's about a guy who builds a computer to be an AI, but doesn't connect it to the internet, just feeds it, like, basically in, puts all encyclopedias, all knowledge, but lets it grow on its own without the influence of the internet, and see if it can teach itself just off of all the knowledge of everyone. He puts in like the works of Shakespeare or this, and he just puts it all in a warehouse. He just has these stacks of things, and it's about him like in this warehouse talking to this machine. And I was like, it's probably going to be quite boring, like an hour and a half of this guy just one character in a room with a computer. But it was so fucking good. I loved it. And it was really compelling, probably because the performances were good. You know, you just like wrapped into like basically what's a conversation, but it was really good. That was my biggest surprise of the festival.
What's it called?
Absolute Denial.
Absolute Denial. Well, I'm in absolute denial that you watched that film.
Well, I did. So.
I love your your response then was like a child being bullied at school. Like, well, yeah, well, I did anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
I did, so end the conversation. But yeah, 34 in. I've got a few more to go before the end of the festival. I'm going to try and squeeze some more in.
That's really cool.
It's been great.
It's Thursday it finishes.
Thursday, it's the closing night. I'm going to the final showing on Thursday night. So
sweet.
Be fun. That'd
be good. Cool.
I've also had to write an essay in amongst it, so that's also been fun.
Rubbish.
But I took a few days off work.
To write the essay?
To enjoy the film festival and write the essay. Yeah. If I only had one of those things on, I'd probably work, but like to really enjoy the festival and do the essay, I needed to take a few days to
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but yeah, I'll definitely end up, I think next year when the festival's on, I'll definitely take time off and get an unlimited pass again, because it's definitely been worth it.
Awesome.
And because I've had the unlimited pass, I've just taken a punt on like anything, because you really don't know what to expect. You can't look at reviews and that, because they're not even out. They're like world premieres, so you just think, oh, fuck it, I'll go see that. And sometimes it's amazing, like Absolute Denial, and sometimes it's fucking shite, like some of the ones I've watched.
Really?
But you never know, and it's fun going in, not knowing what to expect.
They're just like small independent
they're all
productions.
They are, but some of them just like, this just sucks. It's weird, out of 35 films or something, only about 4 of them have been in English, so it's, when I watch a film in English, it's like jarring now.
Is Absolute Denial in English?
Absolute Denial's in English. It was actually made in Yorkshire. I looked up the guy afterwards and I was like, oh, he's from Yorkshire, that's awesome.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Amazing.
Right. So are we all recording?
Yeah.
I'm recording, yep.
Right, so, are you ready? Whenever you're ready. I'm just adjusting my headphones because I've got the noise cancellation's too high. I've just got to turn it down a bit. Yeah, whenever you're ready.
No, that's fine.
Done.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.